There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, it's me, Mike. I run the Sonar Podcast Network, the very one you're listening to right now. I love podcasting and I love the Canadian podcast community. And if you're a podcaster, work in podcasting, or just someone who loves podcasts, you're going to want to listen up. I'm proud to announce that I've been working very hard behind the scenes on an incredible podcasting event in Toronto on June 6th, the Soundwave Summit 2024. And as a Sonar listener, you get 15% off on all tickets with the code SONAR15. An awesome group of podcast companies and creators have banded together to create a space for podcasters and fans to build community, share knowledge, and celebrate indie productions. There will be a ton of informative sessions all day, including talks from Canada Land, Vocal Fry, Black Canadian Creators, Lead Podcasting, and of course, from us, the Sonar Network. In the evening, there will be a showcase of live podcast recordings from Blacklantic, Squirrel Talk, and the Women of Ill Repute. And it's all emceed by the amazingly talented and Survivor-winningest host of Happy to See Me podcast, Erica Kostupinen. Join us for insightful workshops on podcasting, networking with industry pros, drinks, and overall amazing opportunities to meet and collaborate with like-minded podcast lovers. Come for the sessions in the day, the live podcast showcase at night, or better yet, come for the whole thing. Tickets are going fast, so get them now at thesoundwavesummit.com. And don't forget to use the code SONAR15 for 15% off all tickets. That's SONAR15. See you there.
Hi, it's me, Ben.
And it's me, Abba.
And you're listening to Nostalgic. Are you? Oh, I spit out my piece of gum. I spit my.
Are you chewing gum too?
I was, but I spit it out because my chewing isn't cute. Because I don't know if anyone else can hear it, but my jaw will click and clack it. It's doing a tap show.
Does it click and clack?
Like,
do it. Chew.
Maybe I'll. Should I put it in a piece of gum? Should I put it in a piece of gum?
Okay. Put it in a piece of gum. I'm scared. Does it hurt you or does it just happen?
Empty. Oh my God, the reveal. Listeners, I thought there was going to be a piece of gum, but my gum case is literally empty.
Listeners. This interesting content here, listeners.
Oh my God. I must say though, I go through phases where I chew gum and when I don't. And when I do chew gum, because I chew whitening gum. I don't know if that's bad for me. I'm sure it is. But when I chew whitening gum, I literally feel like I'm building myself up. Like, I'm selling myself. Like I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, it feels like an investment in my future.
Yes. Yes. I do feel that. When I chew gum, it feels like I want to swallow it. Like, as soon as I take the fourth bite, I'm like, swallow it.
Oh, my God. I have a no. I used to do that with Hubba Bubba.
Oh, yeah. My God. I still love Hubba Bubba. Hubba Bubba.
Oh, Hubba Bubba. The raspberry pink lemonade flavor is...
Honey, you're taking me back. Oh. You're taking me back to my one-bedroom apartment in Brampton. I was six, honey.
It was a moment. And the watermelon one, the blue raspberry. I'm sure there was a blue I think there was a blue raspberry.
There had to have been. I remember, do you remember Fruitopia, the blueberry flavor?
Yes.
Oh,
Why do they always make blue stuff limited edition? They always did that.
Right?
It was like, we'll give you everything. We'll give you green. We'll even give you purple, which to be honest feels more obscure. But then they'll like blue. Actually, you know what? Blue is more obscure because... It could be anything. Sometimes it would be tropical, or sometimes it would be blue raspberry.
You're right. Sometimes it would be like cool breeze.
Yeah.
It would be blue.
I was like, what does that mean? Yeah. But then like, what does that mean? But then there's also like blueberry.
Yes. Okay. Isn't it? It's very interesting to think about how up until a certain point, perhaps up until like this late 70s, food was just named after food. It was just like molasses cookie, yes, like ginger snap punch or whatever.
Molasses or like malt.
Now, and then like in the 80s and 90s, things turned into like electric sonic zoom. And it's like carbonated like, milk. Like truly insane names.
Toxic waste. And it's just like a Sour Patch Kid.
Just a Sour Patch. It just
like nuclear explosion. And it's like, this is a jelly bean, honey. Like nothing's going to explode. It's true. Everything... Well, it's like everything had to have like a... Well, baby bottle pop was a big...
Baby bottle pop.
Baby bottle pop.
All those candies were disgusting.
They were disgusting.
Because you'd have to put them on your finger and just...
I will,
I'd be at school all day just...
My parents so never let me... If you had baby bottle pop or a ring pop as a kid, you're probably good at head now. And you were practicing all those years and you never knew.
All those years.
baby bottle pop, that was the one where it had like the powder.
Yes.
That to me, I always wanted, but my mom like drew the line that she was like, you can have like a ring pop or something, but she was like, I will not like let you have that garbage. Which I guess I'm like, I get it.
Yeah.
Can't really hold her accountable. Like, can't really get mad at her now.
My mom would let me eat anything. Like, I ate junk food all my life.
Oh, I love junk food.
Because I feel like, my mom was just the type of mother where she was like, the reason I left Nigeria is so my kids could eat toxic waste.
Truly.
Yeah.
So they could have that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So my child could eat whatever the fuck they want.
I love that.
No, that's not the reason. But
it's a part of it. It's a part of it.
She was the kind of mom, like, she just didn't have access to that information. She was never like, oh, this is bad. Like, if something had a lot of oil in it, like, she wouldn't let us eat McDonald's, like, that often. But, like, with, like, baby bottle pop, like, Dunkaroos, like, that was all that was in my lunchbox.
Oh, I love Dunkaroos. But it's true. That is the thing because, like, I even like it's like if you're coming from a country where it's like things are harder to get, things are more expensive, there's inflation, and like I know my grandparents moving from Argentina, like their quality of life was poor. They moved to Canada because they wanted a better quality of life, and part of that is like convenience, like easy, quick, like craft dinner or like fast food. Yes. It's like you get to that stuff and you're like, okay, like this is so easy.
Exactly. And the reason it's so easy is because people have to work like insane hours and jobs in order to like
truly
live. So you don't have time to eat properly. You just buy whatever nonsense is on the shelves. But like even come to think of it, like we had access to better food in Nigeria. Like everything was fresh, like low, you know, like not a lot of chemicals.
Yeah, and GMO.
Money wasn't the issue. It was just like, I don't know. There's like in Nigeria, there's less of a work culture. Like work isn't like this 8-hour day where you're in the same place and your boss will get mad at you if you leave. Like my mom would like leave work for like hours at a time, like go make a soup and then come back. So like you had time to eat properly. Yeah.
On that's like because it's true like that the 8-hour like work like work like 9 to 5 that only really exists in like Western culture, like nowhere else, literally nowhere.
Exactly.
Everywhere else, like every other culture has found like a work-life balance.
Yes,
siestas are a global thing.
I was just gonna say siesta,
and it's like we laugh at siestas. Yes. I certainly find it. I remember as a kid going to South America being like, I'm gonna what? Like I'm a 12-year-old boy. I'm not gonna nap. But it's like it literally does just make everyone in a better mood, and then everyone stays up later. And that's kind of fun.
Well, that's another thing. Like in Nigeria, people like to stay up late and they wake up super early. Like nighttime hours are the hours to be awake.
I want to travel.
It's a lot cooler. The sun isn't at its peak. Like you can actually do stuff.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
You know who does stuff? See. I've agreed.
There it is.
And I've learned from the best. I've learned from the best.
Shut up. Oh, no, it's called not having tact.
But honestly, not having tact in a way is our tact because they never see it coming.
They never see it coming.
So true. You're so right. But our guest, we are so, so happy to have our guest here today. She is a city improv queen, I'd say. Mm-hmm. Truly. Mm-hmm. Bad Dog featured player. You can catch Bad Dog YouTube, Bad Dog TV. Great improv, great live shows, great interview shows, just like everything. Great. There's a backlog of tons of shows you could watch.
Yes,
some nostalgic live shows, mm-hmm. perhaps. Mm-hmm. Just like watch them. Mm-hmm. They're super fun.
Yes. And Tyra's also a part of the Improv College's main stage team. They put on bi-weekly shows every other Sunday. You can catch them online.
Yes.
And I've also seen Tyra just do amazing, hilarious work.
So funny.
Online at the beginning of the pandemic, which is why it's wild that it took the pandemic for me to see her work. But maybe the pandemic isn't so bad because I got to learn about a new phenomenal black talent. I'm just...
The pandemic presents to you, Tyra Banda.
Banda.
Yes. Yay!
Welcome.
Hello.
Oh hey, gorgeous. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so happy the pandemic dropped me off.
I know. We love one thing about the pandemic. It's that it brought us together.
True. And she loves to carpool. Oh. She loves the
carpool. We love it. Come on, saving the planet.
And we actually met in the pandemic too, I'm realizing. I mean, I'd seen you perform, but we like met in a Zoom improv class.
I also saw you perform. Yeah. It was the final show of Liked.
Iconic.
And I'm like, that's what I thought of you.
That show I missed so much. Lots past nostalgia. You guess Tim Blair in that show. Jonas mm-hmm. Charlie, I believe,
ooh,
was in
yes.
that show. Or was he? No, he was back from Denmark. My timeline of everything is so...
I know.
Is like, I...
It's so
is
screwed it, up.
But we met in a Zoom improv class, and literally, and I mean this with my whole entire heart, Zoom improv classes, it's really, you never know what it's going to get. It's like our transitions. They'll blindside you. And when you log on, you're always kind of like clinging to find, like, who am I going to see who's like good, who I like, who I can like... Who's someone who, like, I vibe with, I feel like, in this type of improv setting. And when you popped off, when I saw that square, I was like, thank goodness. And
you need that.
Truly. Oh, and no, you delivered in that class.
That is essential.
Truly.
That is essential.
It's essential. You need, in a Zoom class, it's life or death.
Yeah, it's true, though. Yeah.
And you were great.
You always need that one person. Oh, my God.
I've taken so many Zoom improv classes.
Oh, you've been using your time well, at least. Like, you've been... working on your craft. It feels good.
Amazing. I will a Zoom improv class while like obviously there are parts of me where I'm like, this is just barely filling the void of like live performance. But that said, it's like if you treat it like, oh, this is just a way for me to like check in with other human beings and kind of use this as maybe like a meditation.
A sense of like togetherness. Also.
And like when you're all someone cracks a joke and you're all laughing, in that type of setting, it feels special because it feels like we're all like persevering through like the obstacle that is Zoom and pandemia.
Yes.
Pandemia.
Yeah. Pandemia.
Pandemia. That's my cousin. Pandemia Banda. That's actually a gorgeous name.
Yes.
Oh my God. That's funny. Imagine, that just made me think of this though. Like the amount of drag queen names that are going to be about COVID after this is over.
You think? I haven't even thought about that.
Oh my God. Well, I mean, there's already
But how many can you really make?
There's already the popular vaccine.
Listen, the gays will do it.
The gays will do it. Maybe like... something to do with, maybe like some. Well, I mean like Michelle Pfizer, but I've heard that before.
Michelle Pfizer. What else? Just Moderna as a Moderna name alone is already very gay.
That's a cute
very
name.
Very gay, very
cunt.
Johnson and Johnson is kind of a fierce name. If a queen was like, I'm Johnson and Johnson, that would be kind
ooh,
of.
Ooh, yes. I like it.
I picture wearing kind of like a suit.
Yes. A Mugler inspired suit, like very straight.
Very straight. They love that. The drag queens on Drag Race love that. They're always like, Mugler.
Mugler.
I'm like,
Have you seen Mugler's new 2022? Was it fall? I don't know.
No.
The clothes that just came out.
I haven't.
It looks very good.
I love. Tamara's one of the few designers that I actually will like care about.
Exactly. Very
few. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
If other designers listening, like what?
You know who's a child of a designer.
Designer.
Oh my God. I'll let Tyra introduce this musical person we're talking about.
Yes. Oh, folks, tonight we are talking about the one and only Solange. Yes, we are.
Yes.
This is
please,
cute.
Everybody up. Everybody get up.
We'll wait.
And you know,
everybody we'll up on your
I want you to settle something for me, Tyra. So in our please. Very first episode, I want you to know this is like maybe the fifth or sixth time I had ever talked to Ben. when we decided to do our first episode
as
podcast girls.
As podcast girls.
Yes.
Oh my God, that's so
tell boring. Me how this nigga said...
What'd he say?
That Solange is Beyonce's sister.
No, it's the other way around.
Beyonce is Solange's sister.
Solange's sister. Whoa.
Okay.
And I posited that they, I don't know if I said this at the time, but I believe in my spirit that they are each other's sister.
Yes.
That is quite the theory you had there, Ben. I don't know.
It's quite the theory.
I don't even know if to this day I stand by it. I don't know.
You don't know if you
I don't
do.
Know if I do. I was feeling hot at the time.
You were just feeling it. You were like,
You have to remember. You have to remember. This was, I mean, I guess this wasn't like so soon. I mean, this was, I was still kind of riding the wave of Solange a little bit more so than Beyonce. So I was feeling.
Beyonce hadn't released anything really that year.
But you know what? Maybe I do still agree with what I... Maybe I do!
You know what? I will give you this. Yes. I will give you the benefit of the doubt. I know that you're an indie girl. You I like the indie music. So Beyonce's talent is a bit too much for... You don't have the capacity.
I truly don't. But that said, Beyonce to me is... She's a different, like consuming Beyonce is like a different, it's just, it's such
a different feeling.
It's a different feeling.
Absolutely.
And what's so special about them both is like, if I'm in the mood for Solange, that is what I'm in for the mood for. Like the Knowles sisters, they're not interchangeable.
The Knowles sisters!
The Knowles! I meant no.
Not the mole sisters.
Why did I think mole sisters immediately? That show hasn't been on TV in 12 years.
Oh my God.
Wrongfully so.
Oh my God. Right? Bring
it back.
We're bringing it back.
Bring back the mole sisters.
We're bringing it back. Oh my God.
Oh man. Tyra, I'm so excited to get like, talking about Solange. Like there's...
Me
it's
too.
So hard with an artist that we kind of all love this much because there's just so much to talk about. I don't even know where to start. I guess like we'll just start with talking about like, you know, how did you first find out about her? Did you see her before you heard her? Like what's tea?
Oh my gosh. I like to think that I got introduced to Solange in three stages.
Okay.
I was thinking about this a lot today. So the first stage was when she was in the Bring It On movie with Hayden Panettiere.
Iconic.
Iconic Bring it on all role. Or nothing. I was rooting
all
for her.
Yes.
Did not care about Hayden.
Yes.
So good.
And then the second time was the elevator incident. And this goes on in my mind almost every day as to what happened in that elevator. And I know none of them will say anything.
There are theories.
There are so many theories, and I read into it every day. Yes. I would love to hear your guys'.
Wow.
But
Abba brings out a dossier. Spectacles.
I put my glasses.
I'm
just waiting. Bring this up. The first thing I ever heard about that, the first theory that popped up was that Becky with the good hair was, what's his name's now wife? This one really big producer's wife.
Okay.
And she was present at the party that they were both at. And apparently... Jay-Z was talking to her, flirting with her that night, And Solange was like, this is not okay. I saw what my sister went through with you and this bitch. And she flipped out. And this is my favorite thing about this is Beyonce really showed her Virgo. Cause like she let her sister beat the shit out of her husband and stood there stone faced. She was like, get his ass. But she knew the camera was in that fucking elevator, so she did not say or do a thing.
Because that her bitch face is just like she doesn't even look. Yes. It's
she doesn't even
standing
look.
There like a sim.
like a Babala Subu. Like
she clocked that freaking elevator as soon as she got it. She's like, nope.
Not today. The second theory I heard was from our very own Aisha Brown, CSA nominated. Ooh, Aisha yes. Brown, give her some fucking love.
Soon to be CSI her. Nominated with this intel.
It's like an award.
Oh my God, being on the show is an award in and of itself. She, the second theory I heard is that from Aisha is that Jay-Z is queer and like he had cheated on Beyonce with what? Another man, oh. And that's what the argument was about.
I remember
And she heard this from, like, her cousin, who was, like, very... You know, let me not expose, actually, who she heard from. But yeah, those are the theories. Who knows what's right, though? What are your theories, Tyra?
Yeah.
It's scandalous.
Truly.
I just think that it was, like, Beyonce confided in her a lot, and it just boiled up so much. And it was like in that confided. I feel like he just said something.
Yes.
You know?
He's a Sagittarius.
Like just the wrong
he's a
thing.
Yes.
They be saying dumb shit like, all the time.
Like to Beyonce, like, oh, your shoes don't match. Just like pow, pow, pow.
Your
pow.
Shoes don't match. Hova. Just imagine his face.
That's a good Jay. That's a good Jay-Z. That was a good Jay.
It's not.
No, Abba is a master impressionist, Tyra. And no! I won't make Abba do it, but I will say Abba does a great Beyonce. But I will say my theory, I think it's like it's like the first theory I think you said, Abba. I really do think it was I think it had to do with an affair, and I think Solange was defending her sister, which is I truly can cry thinking about it. Like I love that imagery. Yes. And I think it also, but Tyra, like you're saying, it's like we as pop culture fiends, we're expecting it to be some big drama, but it could. Yeah. We all are human beings, so we know how something could build up, and just the tiniest little thing could set it off.
Yeah.
It could have been something as small as just him being like, "Your shoes don't match," or like.
But it's just you don't tell Beyonce your shoes don't match. Like two completely different.
At first, I was picturing like her shoes don't match the outfit, but now I'm picturing just like one stiletto,
two
one high
shoe, each other.
One Nike, one stiletto.
Sorry, that is so ridiculous.
I hope that's what it was about.
That's really funny. That's really funny.
And I truly
oh looked at the Met Gala outfit.
I mean,
so that's the first time you heard of.
The second time.
The second time. Okay, cool.
Yes.
Wow.
And then the third time was when A Seat at the Table came out.
Yeah.
And it was history ever since.
Yes.
That album, I mean, well, okay, I want to sort of just quickly circle back to Bring It On, All or Nothing.
Yes.
Because that was very much the fun of that movie to me as a kid was being like, Beyonce has a sister? Like, I was like, that's been like, that was so interesting to me. And also, I don't know, I remember this as a kid. Maybe it's because Hayden Panettiere is so short, but I was like, Beyonce's sister is so tall. And like, as a gay boy who stands beauty and glamour, I remember just being like, okay, like, I'm obsessed with Solange. And in high school, like, people, I like had really hip friends who would listen to Solange and like would play it, but it felt like a little bit lo-fi, ambient, chill music. Like, I wasn't really seeking that out at the time, but much like you, Tyra, when Seat at the Table came out, it was history. It was history.
Yes.
Game
it
over.
Was
game.
Yes.
The same for me, too. Like, I didn't really vibe with any of her stuff before that, but that made me go back.
That album.
It's really interesting. Like, I remember the first time I ever heard of Solange was when I heard Tony, T-O-N-Y, and I was very much like, this was when I was really young. It was in, what year was that? I'm looking it up right now. I think that was Soul Angel. No, that was Solo Star. 2002? No, this was after that. maybe 2005 or something. Right. I saw the music video and it was very different than anything that had ever been played on BET. Like, it was very like, she was doing that thing where she was sampling like the 60s mm-hmm. and like there was big band influences, which like harkens back to like her Creole culture.
Yes.
And like, I didn't know she was Solange. I didn't know she was Beyonce's sister.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I saw a video of her recording the Proud Family theme song with Destiny's Child.
Period! 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 Cultural reset.
Yes!
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 Oh my
that
God.
I was like, oh wait, yeah. I know who that is. She makes music. That's Beyonce's sister. Like, it was.
Beyonce's sister. Yeah.
Oh my God. I actually have full body chills. Don't think about the Proud Family theme song because.
That's how you do a theme song. They don't do it like that.
Don't, they don't, Tyra. Try. They really this is, don't. And I'm happy to say this again and again, the pod, like pod, but like Disney hit their peak with Proud Family, like, and that Sarabian, that era, that just was, that was it. That was it.
That was it, period. And even if you think about like theme songs that we had growing up, like not to sound like an old bitch, but like it just feels like I was thinking about, I have this tweet drafted up. It's in my drafts.
Oh, exclusive. Like,
they was singing in the early aughts for these kids shows.
Yes.
Like Mona the Vampire. Mona the Vampire. Big for no reason. Just singing. Just
singing because they can. Because
they can. For the kids.
Because
for
they
the
can.
For the kids.
Oh, for the kids.
It just Proud Family. It to this day is a good. It's a great theme song. Great show. Yes. Everything.
Great and, show. Yes.
And
yeah.
And now it's like
it.
The music you hear in those Disney theme songs. It's garbage. Oh, it's Baby Shark.
It's
disgusting. It's
the talent. Where is it?
I don't know.
You know who the last talented Disney girl? Like, you know the last talented Disney girl who should have blown up? China. From
Ant Farm.
Ant Farm.
Calling all the I will say, I'm eating my words because Calling All the Monsters is an absolute anthem.
Oh my God.
Monsters. Calling all the
I forgot
that song,
about that.
And oh I'm not God. Kidding, this past October 2020 is when I got into that song. I'm not kidding. Like, my friend shared it in like a chat, and I was like, what? And then I listened to it, and I was like, okay, this is
was
amazing.
It Paige?
It was my favorite.
That's such Paige energy.
Oh my
Paige
God.
Would do
she
that,
loves,
I feel
that
like.
Is so, oh my God, I love that you clocked that up. But it's so,
Just talking to her, I feel like she'd do that.
This Paige has great taste.
She has great taste, she does. She has great taste.
That song, I don't know if there are other songs like it. And today is Disney canon. If they do exist, like they haven't gotten to my ears yet, but it's just I miss.
Oh no, Ben, you're gone. Your sound.
Oh, my connection's unstable.
Oh, you're
okay,
you're back.
I just got a notification. My connection's unstable. That was so scary. Right. I was like, is there a ghost? Is the ghost back?
Right.
Don't turn around.
But
oh no.
Oh.
Okay, it's been so long since we recorded. When the volume is all the way down on the QuickTime, Ben?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be like that?
Yeah. Yeah. Because it means we don't have echo.
Oh, God. Okay. You're right. I'm sorry. Okay.
No, but it's audio's hard. Let's just say that.
Audio's really hard.
It is really hard.
I feel like we all have done live or recorded. We get it.
Yes.
To bring it back to Solange, Tyra. Mm-hmm. So when did you discover that it was Solange singing the Proud Family theme song?
I discovered it, I think like immediately, honestly.
Oh my God.
Because it was just like my cousins, we always used to watch it, and she just said, oh, you know Beyonce's sister sings this.
So she knew.
Like, for older cousins.
Yeah, I was like, no, she doesn't.
Oh, my God.
And then we, like, then we looked it up.
Now that you mention it, the Disney Channel, because we didn't have the internet the way we have it now, they would always do these behind-the-scenes things. Where you'd get to see, like, oh, this is them recording it. Now they just do that on Instagram Live. They don't have that.
Boo.
Boo. They don't have it anymore. It's not with the programming. But
it
reminds me of the Cribs, the Destiny's Child Cribs episode, where you go into Solange's room and it looks like the room that a kid would have now. Like, it's really futuristic and, like, really cool. Whoa. And you could tell that she had a really unique music taste. Ooh. Definitely different from Beyonce. Like, you could tell she was, like, a rock girl. Like, she was listening to, like, indie.
Cool. That is so cool. Oh, my God. To see her high school bedroom. I need to watch that.
Yes. That'd be really
cool. Oh, my God. It's really cool. She is very cool. She's cool girl energy, like, everywhere.
Yeah.
Very cool girl.
Like, everything she does is cool.
You know what else I really like about the Knowles sisters is that Beyonce and Solange were going to therapy together when they were kids.
Together?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because Beyonce was getting more famous and Miss Tina Knowles wanted Solange to feel like loved and like didn't want her to feel like she wasn't as important as Beyonce. So whenever people like pit them together, I'm like, they are a unit.
Yes,
like they're absolutely. Best friends.
that is really beautiful because I feel like it would imagine growing up in the shadow of like your sister's literally Beyonce.
Yes.
Literally. And I feel like that therapy shows in Solange is like. Her career trajectory is so specific. It feels like no one else. And, like, obviously this goes for both Beyonce and Solange's careers. But no one else but them could have done. Like, they really both have, like, forged their own paths. Like, and it's like Solange, like, I feel like was empowered to do that through that child therapy.
Yes.
I love
that. And
we love child therapy.
Tyra, did you know that Solange was married really young and had her baby, like, at like 20 or something?
Her son's like old.
Her little sonny Jules, he's like in his late teens now. And Solange had
who's
him.
Who's the father?
I don't think he's famous, but he's fine. he's not famous, but he's real cute. Solange did good.
I love that for Solange. I love being famous, but being famous, but hot. That's being not famous, but hot is like, that's perfect for
us.
That's like the key. That's like
the balance. Exactly.
Perfect balance. Oh, you guys also, I'm sorry. I feel like I am monopolizing this part of the episode.
No.
But you need to go back and watch the interview between Beyonce and Jules. Like, after Jules was born, Beyonce just became like the secondary mother. Like, she would bring him around to her shows and her tours. There's this episode of the Tyra Banks show where she's doing an interview and then they bring out Jules and Solange and they just sit there and talk to Jules and like about Beyonce's career. She's always been so about her family. It's real cute. I love it.
Beyonce's she's a family woman. Oh my God, Tyra Banks Beyonce interview. Can we just talk about that for a second? Because that is the iconic. I don't know who came up with the segment idea, but it's when Tyra's like, which is like, Beyonce. If you could communicate with anyone from the dead, who would it be? Or then she's like, what's another one? Oh, there's so many more. But it's just like, it's like a rhyme followed by like.
By Beyonce.
Like, and it's just like, she does it over and over again, and it's absurd. And you could tell Beyonce's just like, okay, like, I'll play along.
Tyra Banks has the knowledge, like, she has the social skills of a 12-year-old. Like, let's play a game. Okay, I'll say something that ends in Yonce, but the first word is a hint as to what I'm going to ask you. Journal, Yonce. What does your journal say? Like, she... It's so stupid. I love her.
Literally all of the Tyra show was, like, a fever dream to me. Yes. Like, I would watch it every day after school. And I'm like, was that real? Right. Like, all that?
There's something crazy about it. Oh, my God.
It's the stuff.
Do you remember the fat suit social experiment
she
did?
Why did she do that?
Shocking.
Because she's a visionary.
It's like, just ask a fat person what it's like, what their society is.
I was like, no, I need to find out.
Remember when she pretends to be homeless?
Oh, my God.
She thought that being homeless was just being dirty and frowning on the street.
I will never forget. Like, literally, like, still pretty. Like, definitely, like, a base of makeup and, like, eye makeup and everything.
Yes.
But then just, like, dirt. Like, intermittently, like, dispersed on her face. And, like, she wore, like, a puffy green coat. And there's, like, sepia footage of her just kind of, like, walking on the street, like looking confused.
So stupid.
It's
God,
awful.
I love her.
Oh my God.
I love her. She's insane. But back to Solange. Let's talk about A Seat at the Table. I mean, it's not really like nostalgia, but with the way that the past 5 years have gone on, it feels very nostalgic.
It absolutely does.
Did you hear about it immediately, or was it like a thing that you warmed up to?
It was definitely a thing I warmed up to. Mm-hmm. I remember just seeing it on my Apple Music, don't judge me. Yes. And I was like,
Apple Music,
thank
Apple
you.
Music.
Thank you. Oh, I'm going to say,
I don't like the Spotify.
Okay. Music, more money goes to artists on Apple Music. I'll just say
yeah.
Oh, and there it is. So, yeah, I remember I was walking down the street. I was in Edmonton. Mm-hmm. And Rise came on. Mm. And I was just like, I like had to stop for a second. I was like, what is, I haven't heard anything like that before.
Yeah.
And just like the rest of the album kept going. Yes. And it like spoke to me like no other album.
Yes.
Had. Oh, just like unapologetically her and black. And finger licking.
Exactly. And this was also around the time that, like, I can't remember who. See, this is so sad that I can't remember what political protest we were, like, moment we were having. Yeah. Was it Philando Castillo? I can't remember. But there was a really big moment where a black man had been shot and killed. And it was around the time that, like, Beyonce had released something that year, but then A Seat at the Table came out around that time. And it was so like poignant. It was like really, it like spoke to what was happening politically as well. And it was the first time I think our generation kind of had like something sonically to like hold on to and be like, oh, this is of the moment in terms of like this protest space that we were in. Like I remember hearing Don't Touch My Hair and being like,
oh my god,
and like finally. But also sonically, like she really set the tone for what indie music and indie R&B and like funk sounds like.
I really
now.
Think so too.
Like this really like open, like big sound that's very like delicate at the same time. Like not to, oh god, I sound like such a loser, but it, like a lot of girls are copying her these days.
Yeah,
I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, you're saying the truth. Truly. Like, she did the blueprint.
She really did. No, the Seat at the Table, and especially, like, as a non-black person, I think all non-black people listening to the album, I think it's so important for a non-black person to hear a song like Don't Touch My Hair that's just, like, also, like, objectively a beautiful piece of artwork, but is also, like, a way for, like, non-black people to be like, okay, here's something... Here's like a small thing that I could do to like listen and pay attention and like be present for a movement while like, And even I really, that 5 years ago, it really, like you're saying, Abba, like so much has like happened since then that it's like, I forget like where we were politically, but like it feels.
And Trump was dissimilar. Being, I think he was being elected or he had been elected.
Yeah. And
so that's all I listen to.
Yeah,
this album,
because the song the song Weary is very about that. I mean,
yes,
I listened to Weary today, which equal parts hurt me and healed me.
It still is very relevant today. Yeah,
you guys,
it's like it should be.
It's, her music is so I don't know. It sounds like whatever but it's so like contra. It's so like it's like okay. But it's like
it's very ethereal.
It's like ethereal. It's like beautiful. It's melancholic, but it's also extremely hopeful. Like there's something very like you listen to it and it's like it's heavy, but there's always like the whole album feels like a ray of sunshine bursting through like clouds almost. Like
I agree. Do you guys, have you seen, like, the videos? Like, have you seen the music video for Trains in the Sky?
Listen, I, like, listen.
And, like, gag.
Okay.
Gag.
I mean.
Immediately fall in love.
It's,
like.
Wow.
Like, the mind. I can't.
It's just not often. I feel like Beyonce and Solange have actually really cemented this era of artists feeling the need to make their music videos these big cinematic experiences.
Yes.
And they fucking do that. Like, I remember when A Seat at the Table first dropped, one thing that attracted a lot of my friends who listened to it later was like, oh my god, I just saw the Cranes in the Sky video. Like, this beautiful, like,
Yeah.
aesthetic. Like, she really... I feel like we're going to look back and be like, so much of this aesthetic is due to Solange.
Yeah.
Like, this delicate.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, like, yeah. Delicate against, like, hard. Like, she loves doing that.
So, yeah. I mean, literally, like, the shots of, like, all, like, also the choreography in that is, like, so stunning. Yes! But all of their bodies, like, softly enveloping each other, but they're, like, in, like, a coarse desert or, like, some, like, brutalist 90s architecture.
Yes!
It's, like, it's so good.
And even when she got married, she was doing this shit. She was setting the tone for aesthetics even when she got married. I don't know if you guys remember. This was around like 2015, 2016. I wish Aiden were here because he'd have the information on deck. Yeah. But it's like this thing where basically like she had this formation happening. Kanye copied it. Like all these R&B artists copied it where it was like her in the middle in her white dress. Everyone else was wearing white at her wedding.
Oh,
Solange,
yeah.
Beyonce, some people laying down, some people standing up. These like aesthetic formations began to happen. Now all these music videos have like these vignettes of like women laying on each other in nude tones.
They do. They
Solange did Solange that. Did that. Solange did that, bitch. Like,
give her flowers. Give her flowers.
Beyonce and Solange, I think like they are like, you want to say that, like, Hitchcock gave birth to, like, the thriller genre. Like, I think Solange and Beyonce gave birth to, like, a new era of music videos. Of, like, intelligence and kind of, like, like, approach to music videos that, like...
Yes.
Like, I think just... It's so... It's incredible. And even on, Brag, I got Criterion. I got a Criterion subscription. Yeah. But Solange's film that I've yet to see, when I get...
Yeah. Oh, I love it so much. Need... Oh, my God. Yeah, have you seen it?
Yet?
Oh, my God. You guys are
going
to die.
It looks incredible. It's, what's it, When I Get Home.
It's basically the visual of the album, which is amazing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And, you know, it really makes me think about how, like, Beyonce used to do visuals, like, as far back as B-Day. She did a visual for B-Day.
Yes! Oh, my God, she did.
Yeah, and only, like, hardcore fans really, like, paid attention to that. But that kind of stuff has become, like, more and more popular to the point where, like, the Lonely Island did their version of it, like, their Jose Canseco story.
Yeah.
But I was going to mention for Solange, like, did you ever listen to her when she had that era of, what's that song called? Indy was really good in 2013, 2014, and she had a song that was really popular that year. Tell me the truth.
Oh!
I have listened to her whole discography, but I'm not familiar with
much. But I was gonna say, like, that year, it changed so many things for Black women. Like, Solange has a hold on Black women internationally. When she does something, we listen.
Oh, she does. We listen. How does she do that?
Like,
there's something in, like, the Knowles DNA.
Yeah.
like a secret ingredient, like, ingredient X, like in the Powerpuff Girls.
Yes.
Like the Powerpuff
Girls. And I know that they are, at the end of the day, very much capitalists and, like, you know, Beyonce more than Solange, but, like, there's something, like, there's a deep love of, like, Blackness that they have. I feel like we can critique how they see Blackness and even Africanness. Like, they always kind of, like, lean on, like, these royalty tropes that, like, a lot of Africans don't agree with. But I can't blame them. They love being Black and they love having African ancestry, and I think that's really beautiful.
Ooh, they love it.
But
yeah.
Speaking of aesthetics, I was wondering, like, has, like, Solange ever influenced the way you dress or, like, you style yourself, or, like, has her influence ever changed the way you view yourself in general?
I think so, but more just, like, metaphorically in a way. Like, not necessarily her, but just, like, her music and what she represents. Of, like, songs like Scales or Mad, where I'm just like, you know what? I don't give a fuck. I'm going to wear what I want and what makes me feel comfortable. It kind of gives you that, like someone like me can do that, so I can do that.
Wow. There's, like, a wholeness.
It was really empowering.
That's
she definitely provided me with a wholeness at the time that A Seat at the Table came out, especially because, like, I didn't have the language yet. I had the, like, academic language to be like, this is what's happening politically, like, because I was, you know, taking African studies, but, like, emotionally, I didn't have the language, and she very much, like, provided that for me.
Yeah.
But then took it a step further, and she's like, not only will I, like, tell you what you're feeling, girl, but,
girl.
Like, this is how, like, she helped me figure out like how to make space my own, like my like my own personal spaces, like, you know, I don't know, there's something about her aesthetic that's just gonna ring so true for this generation when we look back.
Wow. Yeah,
her actual aesthetic though, to be honest, has been hit and miss. Okay, no,
go off, like, go off, unpack. I'm like, give us everything.
Okay, remember Homecoming, right? Remember Homecoming? Mm-hmm. And you remember when she came out on stage in that raggedy ass wig, and you're like, you're at Coachella. Do you remember this?
I actually don't. Let me look it up as well.
I'm like, how is that wig staying on? And it's like, and she like plopped it on and walked out on stage. Oh my God.
You know what, Tyra? I think this might have been her actual hair.
Okay, it was great. Thank you for having me on the podcast. I'm gonna go now. Bye.
As I'm looking at it, I do not see a lace that might be. You know what? This was when she dyed her hair blonde, so it was thin. And it suited her, but at the same time, I was like, during the performance, it wasn't doing what it was supposed to have done. Like,
on the Coachella stage. Well,
clearly, I mean, Tyra thought it was the worst wig she had ever seen.
I thought it was a wig.
The hair that she was born with.
I didn't know.
It is giving Party City a little bit from the side. It is giving me Party City. Yes. Like,
I will say Coachella, you know, though, if it maybe was in tune with the spirit of Coachella, there's like people wear ugly stuff at Coachella.
The most dumb shit. Ask Vanessa Hudgens. Oh, Vanessa.
Every celebrity.
Oh, my God.
I say, like, every celebrity except for maybe three who have been to Coachella, like, they look wild. Yes. Like, they are, they were shocking things.
Truly shocking. Yeah. And, you know, I think that Solange had a really beautiful aesthetic when she was doing, I think it was, I don't know why I can't remember the fucking name of this song. I gotta look it up. Was it from an EP?
Oh, I don't know. Her Solange's style, her Met Gala looks every year have been my favorite looks of the whole bunch.
She slays that shit.
Every year, I really...
She slays that shit.
When she wore, like, that... It was, like, that... I forget what... Maybe it was, like, for Heavenly Bodies, but it was, like, that black, like, kind of, like... Tubey, like sculpture-y kind of thing.
I think
she wore with like a do-rag as well. It was just really cool look.
She looked really cool. She's always had a really cool aesthetic. Like, so I don't know why my mind decided to put like to not remember this, but her true era, that's where the song Losing You is from, where she's in South Africa and she's like doing her dances with her little suits.
Oh, with that, the little kind of 70s.
The 70s. Yeah. She was doing it with the dandies. They're called the dandies, I think. And like her cardigan, like this very tweed look.
Yeah.
She, like, I think that aesthetic was all over Tumblr, but I didn't know that like she influenced a lot of that.
Yeah.
Because now that I think about it, like, I was dressing like that too. I was dressing exactly like Solange.
Love it.
I'm loving her hoe phase though with this new album. She's serving hoe.
She's serving so much hoe. Mm-hmm. Apparently she like recorded a bunch of those tracks in like one take.
Whoa.
And like honestly with that album, it really had to grow at me. Mm. On me. At first I did not.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know how you felt then.
Here I actually like I haven't given the album enough time actually, but my first because like A Seat at the Table was such a moment, like I think it came in the spring, and I think it was like spring all summer, it was like it was that album. So then when her new album came out, I was like, I want this to be A Seat at the Table too, like where it's like it's a very different album and it represents something different. And she even like talks about it being like, listen, this album I'm in a completely different mindset, like I'm like, her inspiration behind the album was like the synapses behind like brainwaves and how like thoughts like are like radically like changing and everything, and like it shows. So it was a bit hard for me to sink my teeth into at the beginning, but now
I think that's why too for me.
And this album aesthetically was a lot more specific because she was giving us the Yeehaw agenda. Do you remember that a few years ago we were talking about the and online, every black person was talking about the Yeehaw agenda because Lil Nas X had just come out. Solange was doing like the black cowboy aesthetic. Like people were doing a lot of Bree Melandro, who is like an archivist and like a fucking superstar. She she's from Texas, and she basically did a thread of like all the black influences in like cowboy culture. Love. And how, like, so I think people were like dragging Solange and like being like, this is white people shit. And like Brie had to like educate people that like, no, cowboys were initially black. That's why the word boy is in the name. Like white people were still calling black people boy. But she gave us such a hoe like phase in such an artistic way. Like I watched her performance of Bins on SNL. When she had that dancer on the pole and she was shaking ass. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was beautiful.
Yes. Oh, that was everything.
Beautiful. That was so beautiful. Oh my God.
Anytime I listen to Bins, like you can't tell me anything.
Yes. That's one that I have listened to and I always go back to because it's so like, it's so amazing. Yeah.
I think it's like one of my top five listen songs in 2020. Oh my God.
I was going to say, like, what are your favorite Solange songs?
Yeah.
If you have.
Oh,
if I dare ask.
If you have any. All right. Hold on. Let me pull up her beautiful discography so I don't miss anything.
I also famously, I love music. Ask me to name, the name of my favorite song. Can't help you.
Can't tell you.
I literally will know the words and how that song goes off by heart, but, like... Yeah. The name, please.
No, it's not happening.
I really like Scales.
Scales is so good. Mm,
yes.
So good.
And then, they're all good. Where Do We Go?
Yes.
Borderline.
Borderline's really good. I almost forgot.
Where Do We...
Borderline!
Oh my God. You are...
Whew. It's too much. Tyra, for like someone like me, who maybe it was hard for me to get into to her newest album. What's like a song from the newest album that's like a good like launch point to get me into it?
Maybe the song "Stay Flow." Mm,
okay.
Okay. Done.
I
love. I will say the I don't know what, but like the thing. Like the metal kind of like fate, like the very like
the album cover.
That is another example of like I had never seen anything like that truly before.
Literally.
And then the minute that was everywhere in fat, like every fashion, yes, everywhere. It was like artists were doing everyone.
Everyone was doing it. And I think it's a thing where despite like that probably like existed. I'm sure if like she worked with like Mugler or somebody, like she worked with a really prominent designer, and I'm sure that shit existed before we saw it on Solange, but the power that she holds of like, if she wears something, we're all wearing it. Baggy suits. Listen. She fucking did that. The fucking clips in your hair. I wore that to the club.
Oh my God.
I wore that to the club. Clips were gone by the end of the night. I rocked the look nonetheless.
You walk through the crowded club, they're just like on everybody else.
Everyone was taking them off.
Oh my God, it's like her, it's also like there's, when it's so, you could tell with like pop, I sound so old, pop stars these days, lol, but with like, you could tell with like artists sometimes when they're wearing something and you could tell it's like, this is like the work of a team and stylist and everything and they've kind of made this person,
right.
And it's like, I mean like that's fine, but because you look at someone like, what's it, like an example, I don't know, like Rita Ora or whatever. And you're
Cardi B.
Right, where you're like, this is like...
Everyone always goes, you look good, but your team did that.
Yeah. Exactly, and even... I'll dare I say with like a Lady Gaga sometimes of like it feels like is this more for the sake of wearing something outrageous or is it something that's actually like believed and this is who I say I am. Solange, everything she wears, I feel like she had picked out her closet that day and she's like, I'll just put
this on.
Like it just feels so earnest.
If there was a team involved, we can't tell. Because she wears the outfits never wear.
And I'm sure she has like a collaborative. I feel like her team, like it's very much like a collective. And I'm sure they have like check-ins where they're all sitting like cross-legged on a floor. And she's like, we're going to have like a check-in. And they all cry by the end of it.
That's fucking funny.
I love.
I can see it now.
What's your favorite Solange look? Speaking of looks, like is there an outfit that she wore that just never left your mind?
Ooh, an outfit that she wore. Okay, you guys go first. I'm going to try and find it I can.
I think for me, it will always be that for some reason I always go back to True. Listen, at the end of the day, I'm always a prissy little hipster.
Always.
Okay? I don't think I could ever shake that from me. But like, I really love the whole like tweed look of like a really bright cardigan, a big afro, little shorts, and like pumps. Like, yeah. I always think like yes. a little hoe librarian. I love that aesthetic.
A little cardigan. I love a little cardigan.
I love a little cardigan. Ooh, that's the most hoe to me. And I think it's because I'm a child of the 90s. A really tight top or a really like form-fitting dress and a little cardigan. Oh. That's hoe. That's hoe, honey.
I love that. And the sleeves are shorty.
Yeah. Oh. They're like a little tiny, and you can't even button it up.
It's like a bird. Oh my god, I want like a little cardigan.
I love a little cardigan.
I think my favorite look, it might have to be the one I said, which I know sounds cuckoo, but the look, the Mugler, like black.
Yes.
It truly looked like something from like a gorgeous sci-fi film. And I love that type of shit.
Was it? Yes.
Oh my god. That's the future. Yeah. And then she had the Oya halo.
I remember.
Same halo that she wore for her SNL performance. She basically, every time she steps on that stage, she's telling us, I am the moon and Beyonce is the sun. Like,
Oh my god! I need that tattooed on my chest.
Listen, like, literally what it is. She's Oya and Beyonce is Oshun. Like, I'm sure they practice Santeria. Like, they practice, because Beyonce has said, she has used aesthetics that, like, harken back to Oshun, and Solange has used aesthetics and has said herself, I'm sure, online, like, she's a child of Oya, who's, like, a goddess or whatever, but...
Whoa.
I love that.
I didn't know that.
I love that so much for
that. This is true because here's the thing. We think back to like fables and myths and tales of gods and goddesses, and it's like we were like, oh, did that really happen? And it's like, well, yeah, they're just like, the stories just got so infantilized over time. Beyonce and Solange literally are that now. Like, these are people we worship. So who knows, maybe hundreds of years from now they're gonna be like, there was a great goddess named Beyonce. And Beyonce. And like, she was everything. And Solange was her moon, which ABBA, that imagery is so... They need to have that as a concept for like a joint project.
I feel like they've done it separately, but they should do it together. Yeah, they should.
Could you imagine a joint project?
Okay, I would kill myself.
But here's the thing,
life can never get good after
Why that. Haven't they? Why haven't they, though?
That'd be the peak. I don't know. That's a good question.
I think they really love
each other. It's right there.
I think they really love each other. That's
what does that have to do with anything?
Just give me 4 songs on an EP. I would die so happy if they did 4 songs together. No, 4 original songs, 1 shocking cover.
Yeah. They cover themselves. Yes.
That would be break the internet. That'd break the internet.
Tyra, what's your favorite outfit?
I think I have to agree with Ben, honestly. That's really cool. Like, that's such a good outfit.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's such a good
look. She is
too good.
She's so fucking cool. I really love, like, her entire aesthetic up till now. I can't wait to see what she does next.
I know.
Like, I really can't.
Oh.
I can't imagine what she would do next.
Do we know if she's working on a new album? Or I feel like she's probably, like, very, secretive about that.
Yes.
Which is very mum's the word.
She's dating. Who? So maybe she's
is
fucking,
she?
Yeah, she's dating. I think her new boo looks exactly like her ex-husband, though. She has a type. No. And I have to, as someone who doesn't have a type, I have to praise her.
Oh my god.
You know what you like, hey?
Yeah, like, good for you for not accepting anything.
And she's a Virgo as well, right?
Beyonce is, but Solange, I think, is a Sag.
Really? That kind of makes sense, I guess. I really want her to be a Taurus like me.
Oh,
wait, Tyra, what's your sign?
That would
sign?
Be perfect pairing, Taurus and Virgo.
Taurus and Virgo.
She's a Cancer. She's
I can see that.
That's why she beat Jay-Z's ass.
Oh, emotional.
She got in her spirit and she...
I got so emotional.
Do you think that was the only time she ever hit Jay-Z? Or do you think maybe Jay-Z...
No.
I think that maybe, I think, I don't know, I, because what if Jay-Z got it, because Jay-Z is not always behaving.
He had a really big rebrand once he married Beyonce.
He did.
And I'm sure Beyonce and her team had a big part to doing that. Because Beyonce loves a thug. I just, based on the shit I've seen of her as a kid, she loves a thug.
Wow.
And Jay-Z was definitely, he had a thug era. And he was like, he was doing bad stuff. There's a video of him pushing a woman in the face that's still online and still circulates every now and again.
Oh my God.
And I think that, wait, what were we talking about?
I truly don't remember. I was spellbound by that story though. But Beyonce,
I think we all were.
I really do.
There's a video of him pushing a lady in the face. I'm like, has Beyonce seen this?
I had no idea. Oh. At Beyonce the next time you find him. Beyonce,
have you seen this? I really, just making sure. I do, that makes sense to me, that being Beyonce's type, because I feel like when you are like, you're a pop star and you're coming up and you're like famous, you probably get so many like fanboys, and I feel like Jay-Z was probably like a little bit more aloof. And I feel like
she also has,
that's true.
No, he was all over
really?
Her.
Oh, okay. Oh.
He wouldn't leave her alone.
Oh.
And her songs in her first album are like her being like, I said, like the song Yes. Yes, we can be together. Yes, you can be with me. Yes, something, something. The first time I say no, it's like I never said yes. And then in the one of the verses, she's talking about how like she wants to focus on her career, but he wants her to be there. And like, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm upset. I have a sickness.
I think there's a Universe album where you play Beyonce in the biopic.
No.
There is.
I'll never lose that.
Do you either of you? do you like listen to Jay-Z at all?
I listen here and there. I'll have like my faves that I go back to. This sample of the Hard Knock Life still fucking goes. This nigga sampled Annie. Annie the Orphan. Fuck off.
Annie the Orphan. You know I kind of have.
But I saw Beyonce live in Buffalo, and it was her joint tour with Jay-Z. Mm. And when I saw him perform Tyra, I was like, I see why you married him. I see why you married him, queen. Yeah. He's a king. I'm sorry.
He got a little stage presence.
I was even standing there doing this. Like, do you know how?
Oh, shit. The hope.
The hope. I was like, hope.
That is, you know what? Because there is a part, and I'm not like the biggest Jay-Z fan or connoisseur. So some part of me wonders, like, how has Jay-Z managed to kind of stay relevant? But now that I'm like, he must be an amazing live performer.
He's a great live performer, and he has diehard fans that are like of all genders. Like,
I love
his fans are really like, it's really interesting to see who shows up to see Jay-Z at like a show. It's a lot of older white men and a lot of like young like white kids in general.
Yeah,
a Buffalo.
I saw him on the 444 tour.
Oh yeah, okay.
And yeah, there were a lot of old. There are a lot of Caucasians.
A lot
more than I thought there would be.
Caucasus Mountains, for sure. Well,
like, you have a clipboard. A lot of Caucasians I'm surveying.
Where they're doing research for the black
community. Just going to note that, yeah.
But if you think about where his financial interests are in now, it makes sense.
Okay. Tyra and I were like, okay.
I'll say it on the podcast. I don't care. Tidal was a money laundering scheme. Yeah. And I don't use that app anymore.
It's so...
He gave me 6 free months when I went to his concert. What? And I'm like, this is too good to be true. Mm. But I took it anyway.
Shell company. Allegedly,
of course. But honestly, yeah. Like, 6 free months, Tyra? Six free months.
Six free months.
Normally, it's 1 month, right? Like, that is just... The money's got to go somewhere.
I was with it. I was like, yes, support black business. And everyone was being like, you support Apple Music, you support Spotify, but you can't take your money and support a black business as if they're like a startup, as if like they're poor. And then
like Jay-Z needs the money.
They sold Tidal for parts.
They
because
did.
There's money in
it. I'm glad the three of us are all Apple Music queens.
Yeah.
That rarely happens. Hey?
It does rarely happen. It just makes sense. Why have Spotify when I have an Apple phone?
I know.
When I have an iPhone.
The experience, the interface, it just seems better. Like, it just seems like a little bit more fluid. It's like, I listen to Apple Podcasts. Why not keep it in the family and do Apple Music?
Exactly.
Keep it in the
family. We're sponsored
by
Apple now. I'm like, keep it in the family with Apple Music.
Speaking of keeping it in the family.
Oh,
what Like, if Solange and Beyonce were to embark on an artistic project together,
I love this.
What would you want it to be? What would you want it to look like? It doesn't have to be just music. It can be anything. Oh,
that's such a great...
Oh, ooh, I want it to be like a visual moment.
A visual moment? Sure. Okay. For okay, sure. Okay.
What do you see? Where are they?
Like... I'm seeing like very like lemonade tones.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe less adultery charged.
Okay.
Yeah. But just like that feeling of just like stank and like
That gothic, that southern gothic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Ooh, I want like a witch story. I want some voodoo story.
Yes.
Yes.
That's a witch story? The two of that would honestly be the most popular thing in the world. Yeah. Like that's.
I would stand.
Oh my God.
Solange, get in contact with us. Yes. We can help you.
Come on, girl. Hats. Ooh, why did I immediately think of the KKK?
The wrong pointy hat.
The wrong pointy hat. But truly, like, oh, that, man. If they did a visual, something together, that would be, who would direct or would they direct it?
Maybe.
Barry Jenkins.
But I was literally going to say Barry Jenkins. And it would be great. It would be great. I was going to say Barry Jenkins or Steve McQueen.
Finally.
Ooh. Or even Jordan Peele. He's good at doing horror.
Oh my God, Jordan Peele. I just read new horror film starring Steven Yeun and Kiki Palmer.
Yes.
What?
I'm happy Miss Kiki is being. You know what? Ben is the biggest Kiki Palmer fan I have ever met in my life. I've never met a Kiki Palmer fan. Ben is one.
Two of my favorite ones as a kid were Kill on the Beat and Jump In. And that was true. I
jump in the
push it to the limit. Gotta win it.
We're all doing the dance.
I'm like tapping my toes like I know how to double clutch.
You both. I mean, you should know that when that movie came out, I got jump rope. I made my friends. I was like, we're gonna get good at this. Like, we're gonna get good at this.
And we never did. You don't understand how iconic it was for the little black girls at recess who would do double dutch.
I love.
Like, it was such a big thing. Like, I learned like new tricks and shit. Like. I bust my knee trying to be like, what's his name?
Corbin Blue.
What's his name?
Not breaking your knee to be Corbin Blue. Corbin Blue could still get it to this day.
He could. Oh my God. Okay. Did I ever
tell you? Does he look the same?
I think so.
Corbin Blue, like, does he look the same?
Like, he's still cute. Everything? He like, does. He's not.
Oh, I is he not? Is he? I forget to know from that.
He's aging. He's aging like mayonnaise in a hot car.
No!
Oh my God!
Stinky! Not stinky!
Stinky! He's stinky. Oh no! Wait, I have to look this up. But I will say this about Corbin Blue. He should have had a bigger career. And Jump In.
Yeah.
They'll never make a movie like Jump In for Disney Channel ever again. Because if you think about that movie, it was very, very black.
Yeah.
Very, very black movie. They'll never do another movie like that. Yeah. Double Dutch as a movie, that's as black as you can get.
It really, it's truly weird how like Disney like is taking so many steps backward. We talk about it a lot in the podcast. I love dragging Disney about how weird their programming is. Like, it used to be so good, and now it's like it's like not even like, oh, like this isn't diverse. It's like, no, this is like glaringly white. Like, it's like about a golden retriever. There's shows about a golden retriever.
Yes. A dog
with a dog. You know what? We're gonna look back. The CIA is gonna be a statement in like 30 years being like, actually Disney Channel had like an operation where they were trying to get families to be interracial. So they only ever showed mixed kids on TV after a certain year.
I mean, I'm not surprised.
As if it's already come out. Breaking news.
That's been out.
Oh my God. Yeah, Disney. Oh God. Disney, if you're listening, get better.
Yeah, get better. Get better. You sick bitch.
Sick. Get help. Get help. Get out of here.
Well, I just want to say thank you so much, Tyra, for being on the podcast. Yes. Is there anything you want to plug? And, like, where can we find you on social media? Yeah.
Oh, well, you can find me at Tyra Banda on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook if you want. I don't know. And then, yeah, I'm usually on bad.comedytv and on Improv College on their Facebook page every other Sunday.
Beautiful. Oh, ding. Thank you so much. Don't forget to follow us.
Follow us.
don't forget to follow us at Abaquan on Twitter, ABAQUAN, and on Instagram, same thing, except an extra N. I am still working on getting my handle back.
Literally.
What happened to it?
I changed my Instagram username because some creep was following me. I wanted to make it harder for him to find me. And when I went to get my old username back after his account had been locked, somebody in Taiwan had it. And I was like, your name isn't even Abba or Amuquan, you dick.
Yeah. you dick. That's what you do. Send them a front-facing video. Sorry.
I will.
No, it's not your name, you dick. Yes, and follow Nostalgic Pod on Twitter and Instagram. And you can follow me on Instagram at JKMissThing. And give the podcast a 5-star rating and a great review if you want to. It actually helps. I literally am learning that it really does help. So if you guys listen to the podcast and you like it, we would appreciate it.
Yeah. Just leave 5 stars. You don't even have to say anything elaborate. You can just say shoopy doopy. And that helps.
If you say shoopy doopy, if anything, we'll read it and we'll be like, oh, we'll cry. We'll be like, would they know? Oh my God. But Tyra, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
A Solange app was a long time coming, and you really met the challenge head on. And I love.
Yes.
Truly.
We love. We stand.
I'm glad I got her app. I'm so honored.
Yeah. We really do stand. Oh, well, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Bye.
Why do I always clap at the end?
I like it. It feels like a good, it's almost like at the end of a yoga class or something, how they're like, everyone take a breath together. Like, it feels kind of like.
Julie, I'll just clap.
Oh my God. Okay, so you've been listening to ABBA.
And you've been listening to Ben. Ben.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.
Sonar!
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.